Please join in the prayer for illumination. Living God, through the reading of the scriptures and by the power of your Spirit, may we hear for ourselves the good news and believe, because of your word, that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Amen. Our scripture reading today is from Exodus 17, verses 1 through 7. Water from a rock. The whole Israelite community broke camp and set out from the Sin Desert to continue their journey as the Lord commanded. They set up their camp at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people argued with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why are you arguing with me? Why are you testing the Lord?" But the people were very thirsty for water there, and they complained to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us, our children, and our livestock from thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are getting ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of Israel's elders with you. Take in your hand the shepherd's rod that you used to strike the Nile River and go. I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Hit the rock. Water will come out of it and the people will be able to drink." Moses did so while Israel's elders watched. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites argued and tested the Lord, asking, "Is the Lord really with us or not?" The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ for speaking that word of truth. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. Father, thank you for this gathering. Thank you for speaking into our lives. Not because of anything I'm about to share, but because of your living word. Thank you for the love behind all of that. And it's in the name of our Savior Jesus that we pray. Amen. I love to be able to hear what other translations of particular scripture passages share. And I loved that last verse, how it was spoken and offered to us this morning. Did you hear that? Is the Lord really with us or not? Well, the answer is yes, no question about it. But that's a great question, isn't it? And if we are, if we're willing to be vulnerable, if we're willing to be honest, that question has come up in our minds as well. Is the Lord really with me? God, are you there? Sometimes it happens in the dead of night. Sometimes it happens in the dark night of a soul. Now, that doesn't have to mean that it happens at night. It just means that it happens at a very difficult time in our lives. God, are you there? And certainly, our faith speaks a truth to us. Yes, God is there. But we would like to see proof. We'd like to see it. We'd really like to have something tangible. And it's okay to want that. And it's okay to seek after that. And it's okay sometimes to even wonder if God's there. It's okay even to question God, because you know what? God can take it. Believe me. God's been around a long time. Did you know that? Yeah. Yeah. And is going to be around a long time. So when we think about these offerings that we have to God, sometimes profound, sometimes petty, God receives it all, no matter what. That is a profound and deep and intimate love, isn't it? Something that I just want to share with you, as I stand before all of you, again, as a brother in Christ, more than anything else, as a fellow traveler, sojourner, that's something that continues to amaze me. More often than not, I'm stunned, and I just kind of ponder that kind of love, so intimate, so knowing, so great. It's that love that we speak of once again this morning, once again as we gather as God's children, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as we gather on this Lenten journey. You know, in Lent, we continue to keep the cross at the center. And certainly, we have the cross at the center of who we are as God's people. And whenever we say we have the cross, whenever I say we have the cross at the center of who we are as God's people, that means we have what happened on the cross for us, but also the fact that the cross points towards incredible hope, powerful love, and resurrection. Resurrection. Resurrection power here and now. So we continue having the cross at the center of our lives. And sometimes the cross at the center of our lives means that we are carrying a cross, a burden. We have a conviction from God. And whenever I say conviction from God, that's not a negative thing. That's not a bad thing. Okay? It doesn't mean God's convicting us of something. God puts something on our hearts that we need to be thinking about. All right? Now, that could be something as simple as driving along, and all of a sudden, somebody pops into your mind. Has that ever happened? Okay? All right? And so at that time, as that person or that situation pops into your mind, consider that an opportunity to just pray. Now, if you are driving along, don't close your eyes to pray. Again, but I've seen some of that going on in Yuma. That has to be the only thing that it can explain some of the things that I've seen in Yuma. But the reality is that we can simply say, God, I offer that to you. And we continue on the journey. A conviction can also be, okay, maybe we need to stretch ourselves. Maybe we need to reach out. And maybe we need to help in this particular ministry, whatever it may be. And I've seen that time again and again and again, and I know I'm going to see it in the future again and again and again with this congregation, with this group of brothers and sisters in Christ, with this group of children of God, because you are so generous and you step forward and you help. So a conviction from God is a good thing. Do we understand that? I mean, that's a good thing. So whenever I say that, you can know it's not bad, it's good. God speaking into our lives. God has been speaking into the lives of His people forever and continues to provide, to offer provision. And yet, sometimes people grumble. Now, I'm not talking about the grumbling in your stomach whenever it's coming up for lunch, or maybe when the sermon has gone too long and you're thinking, when's he going to end? And you're thinking about that place you're going to meet people for brunch. Is anybody's stomach grumbling right now? I'm trying to get that going right now. I'm trying to get it growing loud enough so I can actually hear it, that grumbling, before you get your cookie this morning. Have you ever dealt with somebody who's grumbled in your life? Don't point at the person next to you. Don't elbow anybody. I get it if that's a person. If that's the person. Have you ever dealt with grumbling? Have you ever grumbled yourself? Yeah, that was an even louder response. That's amazing. I mean, it's really kind of building here. Yeah. Grumbling can be all about all sorts of things. It can just be that you're having a bad day. Okay? It can just be that somebody left the butter out and it got too soft. You know, it can be that, you know, somebody didn't pick up their socks. They just came in from golfing and they threw them in the middle of the floor and expect you to go ahead and pick them up all the time. Could be about somebody dragged in some of those burrs that, you know, in the desert. We have all sorts of beautiful plants, but some of the stuff aren't as beautiful, and they stick to you, and then they just brush them off inside and expect somebody else to clean them off, you know? It could be about the simplest, pettiest little thing, and yet there's also grumbling that comes out of a deep and abiding need to know that God is at work. And that's a grumbling. That's a grumbling that we've all done. Is God at work? Maybe it's a grumbling that says, is God at work in the way that I want God to work? Okay? Maybe it's a grumbling that says, it's a grumbling about another brother or sister in Christ. And you just, all you can do is scratch your head and say, what's up with them? Grumbling is part of our lives. And yet the scripture passage today points to the fact that God is always at work, even when we grumble and doubt that reality and that truth. Is the Lord among us or not? Interesting that in some way or another, those are the final words of this particular passage. Interesting, isn't it? Because God has just provided. And as I looked at this passage in preparation for this moment, it dawned on me that that is something that comes into our consciousness, our thought process, and it comes out of our hearts, and it sometimes even becomes how we act, even after God has just answered a prayer. All right? There's always something more that we want. All right, God, that was pretty cool, but now let's see you do this. Let's see you handle this one. Is the Lord among us or not? More literally, in our midst, in our midst. Are we journeying with God, or are we kind of going off on our own way? And what signs or evidence can we discern, use to discern the presence and the providence or the providing of God? Now, there's a very simple structure to this particular scripture passage. Very, very simple. There's a need. Have we all had needs? Still with me out there? Then there's a complaint. Have we all complained? That should be a unanimous nodding of the heads. Come on. And then there's a response by somebody who's trying to speak for God. And then there's a miraculous intervention by God, or I should just say there's an intervention by God, okay? Because we're going to communicate this to our lives as well. And then the final verse speaks to the etiology or the explanation of the name of the place where the events occurred. And aren't names in the Bible just so cool? I mean, because they speak about God working also, don't they? Look at the names. Massah, place of testing. Meribah, place of quarreling. Now, if you ever see your pastor walking around here in these halls and just quietly chanting the name Meribah, Meribah, then you know something's going on. Pray for me, okay? You never see a Meribah United Methodist Church, okay? United Methodist churches don't name themselves out of Meribah or Massah, as far as that's concerned. God is somebody, is a power, is a force, is a working, is a churning, is grace at work through provisions. There's a thirst. The people are thirsty. and they start complaining. We've heard the word. Give us water to drink. Well, eventually, that need is met. And again, the people of God here show that when they have what they need and what they want, they believe God is with them. What have you done for me lately, God? They believe God's with them then. In times of hunger, thirst, and affliction, they deem themselves abandoned or betrayed. Consistently, again and again and again in the Word. And the people have what they need and want. Yeah, God's wonderful. God's with us. Whenever they get hungry again or thirsty or going through difficult times, where are you, God? In the previous chapter, just the previous chapter, they were hungry and they complained there. And God provided. And God provided in a way that there was no way that they could somehow ignore His presence right there amongst them. In this scripture, it also shows us how we see God in people. God chose Moses as a leader. And you know, sometimes, oftentimes, regularly, God chooses the most limited, dented, challenged, weak individuals and calls them into ministry. And yet when God calls you, all you can do is say, yes, here I am, Lord. And Moses did that. And, you know, whenever Moses was first called, you might even remember that, Moses was like, I don't think I'm the guy, Lord. I don't think. And I can really empathize with that. That's another story. That's another sermon. But Moses was someone who was pointing towards God, speaking on behalf of God. And in fact, any word that the people threw at Moses struck God as well. Because Moses even says, right after they say, give us water to drink, he says, why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord? Moses certainly had a lot on his shoulders, but he continued to be the one that was pointing towards God, that continued to point the people in that direction. And to remind them that it wasn't him who was providing, it was God who continues to provide. We also see God in places. And in places where we are grumbling, we see God. In places where we feel God's answer or power in our lives, certainly we see God. Think about those particular places, those actual locations where you have experienced God's presence in your life. I hope this is one of them. I really do. That's always a prayer each and every Sunday, each and every time we gather in this building for whatever, that we feel God's presence. And yet, some of the people who we feel are the strongest, some of the people that we feel are the most deep spiritually, some of the people that we feel are the most tuned into God are sometimes the people that we learn struggle the most. Mother Teresa is one of those. It came out after her death that this was one of those people that in her private writings communicated of a long, terrible sense of abandonment that bordered on a living hell. In such a darkness. Remember I was mentioning about dark night of the soul, a dark night of the soul. We can walk around having a dark night of the soul, and it can be noon. It can be bright and sunny outside. In such darkness, this tiny wizened woman of God clung to the belief that she bore in her body and soul the love of an infinite, thirsty God, and that her labors on behalf of the Calcutta's hopeless helped satiate the burning thirst of Jesus on the cross. Isn't that an amazing image? That when we hold on to God, when we continue to serve, when we continue to follow and trust and know that God is at work even when we can't see it, we can imagine ourselves in whatever way we point towards God, helping to quench that thirst that Christ had on the cross that is at the center of our journey. You know, there are people out there who thirst. And there are people out there who are hungry. There are people out there who need to know that God is at work in their lives. And yet, sometimes a church can be the last place that one of those individuals would want to come to. Do you realize that? Whenever we're beating each other up, whenever we're fighting, whenever we forget that we need to be in this together, okay? And when we forget that God is already in our midst and at work, not because of anything that we've done, because God loves us, amen? When we forget those things, then a church can be the last place that people would want to come to get their thirst quenched, their hunger taken care of for God. The sojourners had very short memories. God provided for them again and again. They forgot that it was the living God who wished to bring them out of slavery. They forgot that it was the living God who protected them during the plagues in Egypt. They forgot that it was the living God who opened the sea for them and then it crossed, closed on their enslavers. The sea closed back in. And they forgot that it was the living God that led them with a pillar of cloud and fire. And then they'd easily forgotten, as they were thirsty, that God had just given them food. They forgot. Our memories become very short whenever we have a need, whenever we're seeking something. God, however, never forgets. And for us, that, my friends, is the good news this morning. You know, we want to try to create God in our own image at some times. We want to kind of make that golden calf. And in fact, they wanted to even put gold leaf all over Moses, you know? I don't know if anybody here ever saw the movie Goldfinger. It's a James Bond movie, okay? And there's a particular scene in there involving gold all over somebody's body, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, we can be honest here. The pastor's seen it, so if you want to admit you saw it, it's okay. All right, it's okay. And you know, the people kind of wanted to do that with Moses. Gold played him also. Because if it was shiny enough and it was pretty enough and nice enough, then certainly it must represent God. But sometimes God comes in the most unexpected ways. Anybody with me on that one? In surprising ways, through surprising people. And what's remarkable to me, and I want you to listen to this above everything else, So if the person next to you is nodded off, go ahead and just nudge them right now, because I want them to hear this specifically. God is at work in our lives, whether we're paying attention or not. God loves us, whether we think we're lovable or not. If those two truths could be truths that we could hold on to as the church, there would be a lot less grumbling. There'd be a lot less complaining. There'd be a lot less forgetting of God's provisions. There'd be a lot less idol worship as well. When we remember that God is with us, we want to do three things. We want to pray. We want to remember those gifts that God has already given us. And we want to do it together. Okay? When we're seeking God, we pray first. When we're seeking God, we remember how God has already blessed us. And we're seeking God, we remember that we're in this together. Three things that we can hold on to today, I think. What's the first one? What's the second one? Remember God's gifts. Go ahead and say that. The third one, we're in this together. Go ahead and say that. Pray. Remember God's gifts. We're in this together. Easy, huh? Easy. But it still takes work. And there's still going to be times whenever we find ourselves crying out, is the Lord among us or not? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. Are we there yet? If we had a church sign that I could change the message out front, that's what I would have put on today, okay? Are we there yet? We're not there. We'll only be there whenever we're finally with God in glory in heaven. What a wonderful glory and gathering that's going to be. We'll be healed, never be thirsty again, never be hungry. But until then, as we journey together, okay? As we remember what God has done for us, as we help others to remember what God has done for them, as we pray, as we remember the gifts that God has given each and every one of us and together as a church, and also, as we know and we remember that we're in this together, are we truly living and acting as God's people? Amen. Take a few moments right now. Maybe there's been something that you've been grumbling to God about. You don't have to say it to anybody else. You don't have to share it with anyone else. Okay? Maybe there's something that you've been complaining to God about. Lay that before God and say, Lord, I know that you're already at work now. I understand. I don't have to complain. I don't have to grumble to get your attention. You love me more than that. Take a few moments with me in prayer.